Hello, and welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, Matt Ford.
And me, John Richardson. This is the podcast where we follow the highs and lows of fantasy football. I generally talk about football a bit, if that's all right. But if it's not all right, do get in touch and we are willing to change and learn.
Hello at cpfpl.com if you want us to change and or indeed learn. Joining us on the show this week is our first ever American guest. It's Tottenham fan, star of Man vs. Food and manager of an FPL team we can't share because of legal issues. It's Adam Richman. But first, on to the FPL. Of course, two games weeks in the last 7 days. And John, as you may have seen, I forgot to change my team for that first game week. And you did a free hit.
I know. Had I known you were going to completely ignore your team, I would have saved that free hit. But at the time, as listeners will know, you had me on the ropes after a 5-week winning run. And I couldn't allow that to continue. So I deployed my free hit and then I checked your team and thought, oh, I'm basically playing Mothball FC.
I tell you what, incredibly, I actually scored quite, I think 50-odd points that week, which is insane.
I know, you got very lucky because all your Forest players came off the bench.
Yes.
And they scored quite well as a result of their thumping. I mean, a number of tweets saying,
let's just address something up top, John. You're having to keep your voice down. Now, we're going to boost you in the mix. We're going to boost you in the audio. So by the time it reaches your wonderful ears, dear listener, it may not be as audible. But Richardson, just holding back on those decibels because he's in an Airbnb. What's going on, John?
I'm away working at the moment, filming a secret project for Channel 4, which I'm not allowed to tell you about.
Naked
Attraction? Yeah, I am. Well, they've sort of managed to, much like we did the spin-off that was Cats Meets Countdown, we've managed to spin a mix between Naked Attraction and Embarrassing Bodies.
Lovely.
I have a particularly warty growth. One of my testes, and they said, guys, I think there's a series in this.
Get you on one of those, like a rotating thing, almost like a Lazy Susan, just spin you around slowly.
Yeah.
I tell you what, that'd be a good show. You naked every week, and as you rotate, different things happen to you. So maybe like a full spray tan, maybe.
Yeah, have you ever had a spray tan?
No, have you?
I tell you what, I smell a forfeit.
Oh, I'd have to, obviously with my skin, I'd have to be very careful.
To use Bisto.
Oh, I'd like that. Then I could just lick myself clean like a cat. Like a gravy-loving cat.
Reach everywhere, or do you have to employ an actual cat to mop up the difference?
I think I would just get in the shower for the difference, or maybe you would lick the parts of me that I can't reach.
So John's away filming. Let's just deal with FPL at the start then. So then in the second game, we tied both on 68, a highly respectable score for both of us.
Well, you'll have had the email I have had to say, congratulations on your top 10% finish.
Have I?
Well, maybe. But you should, if you check your inbox, you'll have an email from...
Oh my God, yeah. Warrell Crazy Now hits top 10. Oh, it's the first time it's ever happened to me, John.
Congratulations. Welcome to the Diamond Club.
Yeah, I mentioned in Dispatchers from the Fantasy FPL. It says, while many FPL managers were left reeling at the high number of points on their bench, you managed to come through a tough game week and put together a great GW13 score. Erling Haaland delivered as usual, but differentials grabbed the headlines. I've done very well, basically. So
you have annoyed me because I can't remember the structure of the games this week, but there was a point maybe halfway through the game week where I thought, I've got this. I have got this. And then effing Almiron scored again.
Yes. That's why I've got him on my team.
What is up with that guy? But I tell you what.
What?
Let me tell you what made the difference, because going into the final, I don't know if you followed this, going into the final fixture, it was 68 points to 60.
Yes, it was. I thought I'd done you.
Yes, that's
so
what I wanted to hear.
You must have got bonus points or some shit.
No, what I had is Koulibaly at Chelsea, who did not play, which meant that the 6 points that made the difference that prevented you from winning.
No. Nico Williams.
Nico Williams off the bench because I backed Forrest. I showed faith in the tricky trees. Had you backed Nico Williams ahead of Joao Cancelo, you would have won the game week by 4 points. You failed to show faith and you have been punished.
Well, hang on. You had Williams on your bench. So it was just pure chance that you got him off. I benched all three of my Forest players, Nico Williams, Scott McKenna and Brennan Johnson. Had I played any of them, Williams and McKenna both reaping six from that phenomenal victory over Liverpool, I'd have done better. But obviously going into that Liverpool game, you can't blame me, John, for benching those Forest players.
Perhaps had you had Nico Williams, Jeff McKenna and Dean Henderson without wishing
McKenna.
Is it Scott McKenna?
Yeah, Jeff. You're thinking of Jeff Kenna, who played for Southampton in the 90s.
Am I? I don't learn their first names, the Forest players, as I imagine, nor does Steve Cooper. And there simply isn't time.
Go on, make your sour little point.
Had you had Williams, McKenna and Henderson, that would have been 23 points from Forest this week.
Henderson's great, isn't he?
I don't know. I didn't see the game. I don't
but
really.
But just in general, you can have a view. You know he's good. Just say football yeah.
Broadly, I would say football is a dog shit sport for ourselves. It rewards those teams that spend the most money. We have had a number of tweets, I have to acknowledge them, saying perhaps John's going to be a little less smug given that Forest and Leeds are now tied on points.
Mm.
What I would do is I would ask people to separate the two issues. Of course, I've enjoyed that Nottingham Forest have been struggling. I will continue to do so if those struggles continue. But I've been clear from the outset. I think Leeds are in trouble, and I think we're prime candidates for relegation. Those two issues are separate. I can both fear for my own team and hope that we drag you kicking and screaming back down to the Championship with us.
I totally get that. Obviously, the problem you've got is we're now, it seems, sorting our problems out. Whereas you're going the opposite way.
We're sticking by our problems. We're showing faith. A faith
Liverpool,
you did not show with the team that got you up. You scrapped those people. You broke hearts. Leeds are saying, no, that's not right. If something is shit, you stick with it. And if my wife is listening, let me say that I hope she shows the same faith that the Leeds board are showing to Jesse Marsh.
But how do you feel about Forest beating Liverpool? I don't know if you've seen any of the highlights. I mean, it was, you know what was amazing was we didn't nick it. We were the better team. It was a fair result. It's happening, baby.
I haven't seen it. I'll be honest, I was a closet Forest fan that night. I brought Son in for the last game week. That backfired. I knew I was taking him straight back out. I had to make a choice between bringing in Kevin De Bruyne or Mo Salah. To the very last minute, I thought I've made a big mistake here, but I went on Salah's form over the season rather than my heart. And his form said, do not pick him. And that was the right decision. And those 9 points for Kevin De Bruyne, I enjoyed greatly. And the 6 points for Nico Williams that got me the tie this week, I enjoyed greatly. I wish you'd shown the same faith.
Well, you didn't have faith in Nico Williams, as you admitted at the start. He was on your bench. He only came in because Koulibaly didn't play. But let's have a look at 40 Stat Pack. And John, let's start in the number one position, a goalkeeper that you mentioned earlier, Dean Henderson with 11 points. Really a star of the Premier League this season. I love watching him play. I love how emotionally he gets.
You can't love watching a goalkeeper play.
But he pulls out great saves.
Nobody turns up to watch the goalkeeper, you drip.
Well, no, but look, some goalkeepers are better to watch than others, aren't they? Campo, Schmeichel.
Yeah, goalkeepers that are under attack. Goalkeepers that have a lot to do.
Pickford, when he saved a penalty. Seaman in Euro 96. Come on, pal. Back me up here.
Back me up.
Back me up. So, Zouma, which, let's be honest, we both have strong feelings about.
Yes, he's a shithead who shouldn't be playing.
Cat kicker, Kurt Zouma, with 15 points.
Enjoy those points if you picked him. You enjoy those points.
Mings with 10. I mean, Villa. The moment Gerrard goes, the banging him in, John.
God. Difficult not to argue against the new manager bounce, isn't it? We've seen it at Bournemouth. We're seeing it at Villa. Perhaps it's time to bin people off. Covert messages. I'm not talking to anyone in particular, but it would be nice to see a new manager bounce at some clubs.
What about friend of the show, Sean Dyche? Is he in the frame for the Leeds job?
Well, so I see on Twitter, that sort of thing where somebody who has no tick next to their name and some vague connection to football that's got them basically 2,000 followers by retweeting news that was already made public, has said not only that Sean Dyche is in connection, but that rumours of him bringing back Chris Wood and Charlie Taylor.
Can I just say from personal experience, things that trend on Twitter aren't always things that you should be reading.
Well, I think sometimes there's a lot of truth in it. I think sometimes something that you're not aware of, you know, you see the trending topics and you click on that and think, who's that? Oh, yeah, it's that twat. What happened this? I felt so sorry for you this week, which is not a position I enjoy being in. But that came out of nowhere, didn't it? What's happened there? You haven't even kicked a cat.
And we obviously spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, joked about how frequently I trend on Twitter, and then today and yesterday I've been trending on Twitter. So here's the skinny, guys. This is all I've got to say on the subject. I was conducting a media round of interviews to promote the British Scandal podcast. Some lingering tour dates. The last one, in fact, the last show of the tour is this Friday at the Bloomsbury Theatre. The last ever performance of Clowns to the Left of Me, Jokes to the Right.
So I read that you'd renamed it Goodbye Liz. Is that not true?
Yeah, just a bit of a PR stunt.
Of course it is. You cash in there, mate. Or why don't you rename it Forest 1, Liverpool 0 while you're cashing in on brief, unhappy spells?
Good idea, Adam. There we go. Changed it. And then what else? Oh, yes. Myself, Al Murray, and Sean Foley are writing the Spitting Image Show for the stage. So it opens at the Birmingham Rep next year. So we started to do publicity around it. And I was asked, what about the TV show? Now, the TV show obviously hasn't been on for about a year and a half. So I just thought everyone knew that it obviously wasn't on. So I said, I don't think it's coming back, which it turns out had not, I don't think, been officially confirmed. So the picture they... obviously, it's been every year and a half since I've worked it anyway. So like you're like, well, that's kind of your answer, isn't it? If it's not on, it's not on. Anyway, it turns out that actually no one had put this out there yet. So I'm the one now breaking the news that Spitting Image. And I thought I had license, as my opinion, which is fair enough, which is, why would you bring back something that big and put it on a platform that no one possesses, i.e. BritBox, which is going defunct anyway? It's just obvious that if you bring something like that back, you stick it on ITV, right? Anyway, so I said those things. It obviously gets written up as like Spitting Image cancelled because it was me. Like, they used a picture. So last year we did a photo shoot of me and the Boris puppet. And there's one where the Boris puppet is putting its finger to my mouth to shut me up. So that's the picture. So it looks like I've basically been silenced and cancelled. And I was just, again, amazed. I can't believe it's new. It just doesn't feel like it was on Radio 4, and then it's just written up now. Like,
it's been a quiet news week, in fairness. We're looking for something to talk about, because otherwise not a lot going on, certainly not politically.
So it's just like written up as like it's just happened, you know what I mean? It's just so weird the way that some news works. You're like, oh, you've just found this out, so you think it's just happened, but actually you just didn't know something that had happened a while ago. So yes, you know, I was back on the cross.
Well, you say back on the cross. You dragged me up next to you.
Did I?
There was a couple saying, "Oh, he does a shit podcast with John Richardson, that little twat."
No
getting
way.
Caught in the crossfire, mate. Friendly fire. I wasn't even doing anything.
Do you know what? My Twitter filters are like fucking Fort Knox. It's like a nuclear reinforced bank bunker with nuclear cable. Like, you can't get through. It's very rare that occasionally I see a flurry of news stuff from what must be fairly recent accounts, and I'm like, oh god. So I didn't see any of that. Sometimes you go, oh, you're getting a bad time on Twitter. It's news to me. I'm like, oh crikey, what can everyone else see? But here we are, we've survived it, haven't we? So I'm sorry you got dragged into it.
It's all right, mate. You know, all merges into the rest with me. I like to read it. I agree with him. That's the problem when I sort of trend on Twitter for these things. I sort of screen grab. I'm like, he's nailed me there. That is exactly what's wrong with me and this country.
Now, on the back of Forest Liverpool, you may have seen a wonderful stat that was being shared. Well, just more of a fact. Someone tweeted, on Saturday, Trent Alexander-Arnold could become the first player to play a Premier League game next to a river that shares his first name since Don Hutchinson for Everton away at Sheffield Wednesday in September 1999. Because obviously Trent played by the Trent. And you may remember a couple of episodes ago on Onana, What's My Name? You couldn't get the obvious Stoke, Burton, Nottingham clue.
Yes. I've had a number of texts from... friends who listen to the podcast saying it was excruciating listening to me try and get Trent Alexander-Arnold. I don't know where my head was at. Can you name any other footballer river combos?
Ooh.
Erik Thames Haag.
Oh my god, that was very quick, John.
Thank you.
Okay.
Should we do a bit of tennis back and forth?
Yeah, I'm trying to think some river names.
Arsene Wenger.
Oh, God, you're doing very well here. God, I'm not even... Right, Googling UK rivers. Oh, Lionel, Googling Mississippi.
What was that one?
Lionel, Mississippi.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Tyne Rees-Forner.
Oh, yeah, I'm not so happy with that one.
Yeah, I like that. Ruud Eivind Nistelrooy.
Yeah, or one for the referee. Ooze the Bastard in the Black. D on Dublin.
Ooh.
I don't think it's a feature that's going to run and run.
Barry Bannon.
Yeah. Charlie Taylor.
Ooh. Oh. God. Each time the ball comes back over the net, I'm surprised to see the ball again.
Yeah, there's a bit of spin on it.
Yeah.
Begging for this feature to end, aren't you? And then it doesn't.
Yeah.
I think we'll call it a day, though.
Rivers.
Sometimes it's fine to just say, no, I can't think of any.
Bukayo Sark. River Sark. River Sark.
Is it? Where's that?
Part of the western border of Scotland and England.
Oh, you knew that straight away. Almost as if you're on the Google page for it. Speaking of eggy ponds, did you see that Leicester City have had to stop birthday announcements before games?
Why?
Because they recently had a happy birthday request for Zach Rogers.
Oh, my God.
Brendan Nout.
You're kidding me.
No.
That's like an episode of Porky's.
Yeah, so they've had to suspend all birthday announcements. I mean, every now and again, you think football fans are really funny, aren't they? That's really
they
funny.
They are. And, like, you know, obviously once that's through the net, it's in the mouths of a stadium announcer, and they always will, he won't have just read them out and have said something like, and a special birthday to Zach Rogers from all of us here at the club. Zach, wishing you very best. And a very special day for Brenda Nout. Brenda, all of us here at Leicester City hope you have a very special day at the King Power Stadium. It will have been dressed up in that earnestness of the day.
And happy anniversary to this shit, I've had enough, change the board, me, £43 a ticket. We wish you all the best.
Oh, man. So a big week for FPL. I can't believe having made such a terrible mess of it that I was almost given the immediate chance to just effectively cancel it out. Although it does mean that we effectively drew last week. So I'm only one behind you this week. The big question obviously is...
I had Scamacca going into the... I needed 2 points. There was a point at which I thought... I knew Scamacca was going to come off for Antonio at some point in the West Ham game, but I thought all he's got to do is score or assist in that first half and I beat you. Or if he comes off at half time, I lose. And he limped to the bog standard 2 points for starting each half, and that was it, 68 each. But it was an exciting game week to follow, I'll have to say.
Well, you know what? I watched that West Ham game last night like a man who'd gambled his house on a horse. I was just like wriggling on the City, just hoping that Scamacca did. When they brought Scamacca off, I just thought, I've done this. Checked the app this morning and was like, the fuck? I was like, how's he done me? Actually, until you explained it earlier, I had no idea how you'd done me.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that Koulibaly wasn't even going to see, he wasn't even in the squad, so it's one of those I didn't even have to. The worst thing is seeing one of your players on the bench and know they're going to come on and score 1 point. That's just dreadful. And obviously, we both had Jack Harrison in the team. Leeds lost to Fulham. I mean, it was a week of clear wins and losses.
Because you're having to record this in an Airbnb and keep your voice down, it does make it sound almost like a hostage situation. There's a sadness to your situation, to your voice.
Well, you know, I'm very busy at the moment. I'd be lying if I said there was much joy in FPL. It's just another stress. It's just another app to open. It'd be like, you know, you get these mindfulness apps where you sort of open it and it says, hey, you are the center of your universe and you need to feel empowered. It'd be like FPL to me is like the opposite of that. It's opening an app and everyone says, you know, Joe Wilkinson's better at you than this.
See, for me, that app is Twitter.
F*** off. Yeah, that's true. Do you get, like, as much as you had an email from FPL this week saying congratulations on your top 10% finish, do you get, like, an email from Twitter saying, just from the shareholders, thanks for keeping this website going? You know, we've all had a big party based on the traffic generated by you in the last year.
I'm just getting emails and everyone thinks you're a c-
Yeah. Can you say we hear rumours that you're sort of thinking of sorting everything out and bringing together those people who don't like you. And we would really advise against that.
I like the idea of a John Richardson meditation app. So let's say I open up the app. So I'm opening up the Rico Sleepo app now, whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm absolutely staggered that you don't think I've already done this for a mascot on Cats Does Countdown. Basically, any comedic conceit you can have about me, I have done on Cats Does Countdown. I have done a John Richardson meditation app.
Okay, well, that's mindfulness, though. Okay, so let me try it, because obviously I've been trending on Twitter, right? So I'm stressed out. So
yeah.
I'm going to just... I'm going to open the app. So here we go. Ooh, what's this on the home screen?
It's time to go to bed. Turn the phone off. Turn off the TV. Not at standby. Reach behind. You know, energy consumption from these silent users is a crime. Switch it off of the plug.
Yeah.
Put the remote controls parallel. That's right. All three. TV, Digibox, and the DVD player. That's okay. Right. All parallel in ascending size order on the poof. Go to bed. Have you turned that light off? Check the back door. Go on. I'll wait. Check the back door. Of course it was locked. You knew it was locked, but don't you feel better for checking?
I do. So this app is quite advanced, so I can type in or even just verbalize it. It's like an Alexa. So, hi, John, mindfulness app.
Hello.
I've been trending on Twitter and I'm struggling to sleep as a result. Can you help me, please?
Sure. Delete Twitter from your phone. The only judgment of you that matters is the judgment of your friends. And I'm oh no, actually, they think you're a cunt as well. Have you thought about being less of a cunt?
Maybe try that. Incredibly, I have tried.
Wow.
It doesn't seem to have worked. Either I'm not good at it or people haven't noticed.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Have you thought about moving out of comedy?
What about solving my problems with food? What about just eating my feelings?
Mm.
Ice cream, pizza, thick pizza, bready pizza.
Tofu salad.
I had one last night, John App.
You'd be well excused. I'm having a busy week and I'm eyeing up dirty treats for when I finish.
John Richardson's Dirty Treats. That's a great app.
Yeah. Well, the great thing when you're vegan is that, I mean, in the same way that it used to be an alcohol binge.
Yeah.
If I have a regular pizza now with a bit of actual mozzarella on it, I feel like I've absolutely, you know, gone out and disgraced myself. The sort of guilt and shame that you feel from waking up and having to check your bank statement to see what you've done, I get now from seeing a Dr. Oetker carton in the recycling and think, oh, you bad bastard.
Do you like the one with the pesto on it, the mozzarella
pizza?
No,
I don't. I've actually hit upon there, I think, what is the weakest of all the frozen pizzas.
I think
the base
great.
Is too crumbly and too sweet, and the toppings are too wet.
Are you cooking it properly?
I think so, yeah, in the oven.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I'm doing it.
Why are the toppings wet? Has your oven got a leak?
The frozen tomato chunks are too big, and having frozen, they sort of rupture.
They're juicy.
They become like wet and soggy.
They're juicy in your mouth. They pop in your mouth. All that goodness.
Yeah. No,
I like it, you know. I'm a big fan of Dr. Oetker. Have a few cans, stick that in, eat it, realize it's not enough, order a pizza up.
Yeah, fucking right. Two of the big pizza players have launched a vegan range this week. Dr. Oetker is one of them. Can you name the other?
Pizza Hut.
No, Pizza Hut. I'm talking frozen supermarket pizza.
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas have had a vegan range for a long time. They do a barbecue.
Chicago Town.
It's Chicago Town.
Get in. I'm good at guessing vegan pizzas. I knew it.
Can you tell me what flavor? And this is wonderful. Because one of my big bugbears with vegan food is that the assumption that vegans are worthy people who want tagines and butternut squash risotto. I want roast dinners, I want curries, I want dirty pizzas. So can you tell me what flavour the Chicago Town vegan pizza is?
Chunky sausage, barbecue.
Yes, sweetheart.
Okay, four cheese pizza.
No. Cheese.
Cheese and tomato. Cheesy beans. Cheesy meat. Cheese and meat. Cheesy sausage meat.
Burger.
You what?
Cheeseburger.
Oh, I love a cheeseburger pizza.
Isn't that lovely?
Man. You know the Domino's one? Did you ever actually try it before you went full veg?
No.
mate, honestly. You know what? Next time I stay at yours, I'll order one. If you're vegan, are you allowed to just lick it?
You'd have to ask the judge. I mean, the jury is still out on that one.
Okay, let me ask.
No, I don't think you can. I think you can
lick it if you don't swallow. I think it's swallowing it is counts as eating, doesn't it? I think licking it is just basically like smelling it with your tongue.
I think you could lick the live cow, but I think once the cow has been slaughtered and minced, then it becomes meat.
Well, what I mean is lick the pizza that doesn't have the meat on it. So you're still licking.
What am I licking? The base.
You what?
I'm licking the base.
Well, also just the gherkin, the burger sauce.
It's got gherkin on it.
Yeah, so it's like, it's basically crumbled up burger with gherkin. It's all the stuff you get in a cheeseburger, just like scattered across a pizza.
Those clever bastards.
Mate, it's amazing. But I tell you what, the acid in make sure you've popped an Omprazole or whatever it's called in the afternoon because you're going to need that Gaviscon at around 3:30, 4 a.m. Wake up with a burning gullet. You think you're having it? It's like being waterboarded by your own lungs.
Do you know, I think the most qualified person available to have this discussion?
Me?
Adam Richman.
How are you? What's up, Dan? What's up, Matt?
How are you doing?
I am well. Better than my team is doing, but well.
I mean, mine's slightly scruffier than yours, Adam. But we do have a similar approach to our backgrounds. We've both got framed sporting memorabilia on the wall. So what's on yours?
So I've got a lot. I've got a whole room just over there that I've not put up yet. So I've just started. I just moved. So this autograph photo of my buddy Clint Dempsey from Miller Park. But yeah, I've got a seat from White Hart Lane. I have Messi after his 100th goal. I have that signed.
And there's a lot of stuff then. A lot of it's got sentimental value.
Yeah, for sure. And like, it's definitely indicative of, you know, a white Jew in his 40s with a waist sized over 36 inches. Like, you could tell. You're like, oh, this mother. You know what I mean? Like,
how did you get the White Hart Lane seat?
I've done a lot with Spurs Wishes, which is their sort of thing for whether it's differently abled people or ill people. And I've just done a lot with Spurs TV and I paid for it. That's this misconception that like, because I am on television and, you know, of course, you know, every Spurs fan says I'm plastic and they secretly support West Ham and I do.
Why West Ham? Why do people think that?
Because I actually, so this was the thing. I was never going to declare support for a team. And so my buddy's like, no, don't declare a team, dude. Because if you declare a team, you'll have love from one team, but you'll have haterade from everybody else. And then I was like, okay. But then I thought that's a little bit of like a bitch made move, like have a dog in the fight. And so I was going to go for United, like everybody I knew. So I was going to go there and then I found out from someone, talking about Lord Sugar and Daniel Levy. And anyway, so I thought, oh, okay, well, that's kind of cool. They have this Jewish owner and this, that, and the third. And then my very first press junket to England was the taxi for Mycon game when Gareth Bale wiped his ass with Mycon. And I love Rafa van der Vaart.
Oh, he was brilliant.
You know, he said Mycon's the best right back in the world and Bale's killed him. But just how strong he was, what he could do with the left foot. And then, you know, he did his little signature signing with the keepy uppy and the whole thing. And so I was really into it. And someone, I had asked people on Twitter, right, when I was there, I love the game. I played the game. I still occasionally, you know, play. And I go, what's the team I should support? And I got everything. And then someone, I still don't know who, sent this thing, you know, 100 greatest goals of the lane. So as to your West Ham question, I didn't know that. So like, for example, I'm a Miami Dolphin fan, but my dad was a Cowboy fan and I live in New York, right? So I'm a Dolphin fan, but because of my dad, I will root for the Cowboys. I'm a Dolphin fan first and foremost. You can't do that in England, clearly, because people will have a thrombosis. And the West Ham that I first watched, first of all, I'm friends with Nick Frost and he's West Ham to the core. I was a big Danny Dyer fan ever since I saw Human Traffic and I loved his accent and shit. Just that scene in Human Traffic where he's talking about just like, nice one, come brother. Blood, come like going on. So I loved it. And I know that he's West Ham as well. So I watched it. And that, so when I had started watching the games, they had, you know, Demba Ba, Carlton Cole, Scotty Parker had just come over, Noble, Nolan. So it was still a very exciting team to watch, but I think they got relegated, if I'm not mistaken. So I thought you could have a team in the Prem, team in Champ, team in one, team in two, and it's this. So they're like, oh, I thought you supported blah, blah, blah. And Dipshit McGee over here, like proving that we are two countries separated by a common language, said, I support Spurs and this and that. And I did mention West Ham, because I only thought the only rivalry was Arsenal. You know, you open FIFA, it's like the first thing that pops up usually is a North London derby. I didn't know about the enmity between Chelsea. I didn't know between the enmity between West Ham. The first game I ever saw was because of him, because of Clint. Clint was playing and the sort of by now infamous or famous video when I saw White Hart Lane for the first time and I cried. Which is genuine. People are like, oh, look, I'm crying, like Oscar Pistorius.
I was hoping that was a lovely love letter to Spurs there, but obviously Leeds have now Jesse Marsh, Tyler Adams, Brendan Aaronson. I was hoping there was a sniff of sort of bringing you over, but maybe not.
So the irony is, I think we've talked about this, both when I saw you in New York and when we met on Sunday brunch, but yeah, that's where my great-granddad's from.
Well, without wishing to tempt fate, I mean, we could be your championship team next year then, because I think we're going to get relegated. So you could
I learned my lesson. I could say I love Jesse and I love Brendan. And look, I like any team that's going to anybody. And I'm not taking a patch off of what City has built. And I remember like people were like, when he left Dortmund, like, I don't know if Haaland's going to. Are you kidding me? He looks like the bad guy from Ghostbusters 2. He literally looks
yes,
like
Prince Vigo of Carpathia.
You, Matt Ford, are a classy, handsome human being with a mighty penis. That is exactly Prince Vigo from Carpathia. Yes. If you put a side by side, and I like Roger Bennett from Men in Blazers, says he strikes every ball like he's avenging his father's death. But like I knew, like you had to know. He's just I had seen him play when I filmed Match Day Menus for Copa 90. I saw him play for Red Bull against Napoli, and he towers above other players. Guys his size are seldom that quick, and if they're tall and quick, very often it's like, you know, Peter Crouch, where it's like a stick figure. You know, it's like Stork. The most recent goal he scored where like the defender bounced off of him, like the left back just bounced off. Yeah, I mean, I'm not taking anything off of what City has built, but you know, it'd be easy if I had just gone where the money was.
Haaland was asked recently about food and he said the food he wanted to try the most was a doner kebab pizza. I mean, obviously you've tried lots of different foods on Man vs. Food, but
yes.
Did you ever come across that?
That's really interesting. I want to say I've had a pizza with lamb on it. I know I did in Iceland, but it wasn't like a doner kebab one. I am loath to mention that it was smoked in sheep shit, but it was delicious. That's what they do in Iceland. There's not a lot of – all the wood in Iceland, the trees have long since been cut down. So most things that are built of wood are built from marine pallets, like shipping pallets. And so what they do is they let the sheep dung sit in the rain and it washes away all the biologics. And then you have, it's kind of like the way they use turf in Ireland. And that's what they smoke the meat with. It's called honky cut. And I remember, we're doing this, this pizza and then I was like, oh, so it's cured. Yeah. He's like, and then we smoke it with shit and then put it on pizza. And I was like, wait.
Having grown up, there were no Taco Bells in the UK. Now there are two in Nottingham. And this is just incredible. It proves that globalization lives. I mean, I'm a massive fan of Taco Bell, and John always takes the piss out of me for eating so much of it.
I find you only kind of borrow Taco Bell. You don't rent it for very long. You sort of rent it. It's you know, the slogan was make a run for the border. And I remember
friends. Oh, my God.
It runs from the border. You know, look, You want me to tell you that there haven't been nights when I've been out on the lash and haven't sort of faced the crunch wrap? You're dead wrong. But I also feel that in the name of cultural exchange, like we're getting these like from the UK, you know, we have unbelievable, like the most exciting league of football. We're getting magnificent actors and actresses on our screens. We have music. But yeah, to know that, oh, this is what we've brought over. And I remember watching that movie, 24-Hour Party People.
Oh, brilliant.
Right. And I remember watching and I rewound it a few times because I didn't hear what he was saying. And he's like, I'm going to get a Kentucky. And I was like, he's going to KFC. And I was like, this is what we have birthed upon the world. And it's funny because, I've gotten offers, you know, since the show debuted there to try to open restaurants there. And I still hope to do some kind of concept. The furthest I'm coming is the rib man, Mark Chavot, the guy who has the holy sauce and whatever. He and I are going to do some kind of collaboration.
Great.
Simon Rimmer and I talked about doing a barbecue concept a few years ago. The issue is I don't want to just lend my name to something. I'm very into being there and it pisses me off because I know there's a restaurant called Man vs. Food in London. I have nothing to do with it. I actually passed it on my way to do Soccer AM, and I'd heard about it, and they had like tried to reach out to me, and I was like, I don't know you. You're a bag of dicks.
Like, is that on the menu?
The bag of dicks? That's a challenge. That's a challenge. In our league, John, who is number one?
Well, I'm glad we got back to that. But I mean, Joe Wilkinson is currently top, Russell Howard and Ian Sterling and Sophie Ridge close behind. But I didn't want to crowbar in the FPL. But let's be honest, very rarely do we coincide a guest with their best week in FPL. And I think you were our highest scorer in the league this week, yeah, with 75 points. You've had an absolute
That's bizarre.
Stonker.
That is bizarre. So, yeah, I thought I was going to be taken to task for the multiple names I've given my team throughout this season.
Well, we legally can't name your team. I understand it's something that you as a Tottenham fan are passionate about.
But it's alleged. It's alleged. If we say allegedly, right, can we say it then? No, really? But it's just originally it was Arsenal.
Nice.
And then because I wasn't very good at it, and I still don't remember when the trade deadline is. And
yeah.
I watched one or two of the videos, and it is like a NASA flight plan to my little pea brain. Like the difficulty level, transfers in, transfers out, the likelihood of threat. What the shit? Is he playing well? Is it a good opponent? Did he have good chances? Like I did well with the UK Telegraph one, and then I just saw a tweet recently. If you had made a team and it was like Saka, Sarr, Holland, Kane, like whatever, and you didn't make any trades, you would have like 800 something points. Man. But no one could predict that like Iwobi was going to turn into Pele this season.
You're a busy man. You're the other side of an ocean. You're coming at it, you know, with fresh eyes. You've just launched a new podcast. You're very busy. You're 4 points behind Matt Ford, who literally does this for a living. So, you know, don't feel bad about how you're doing.
I'm just happy I'm above Josh Whittaker. You were there, man. I did Fighting Talk. It was me, Richard Osman, Johnny Rico, and Rachel, the lovely Rachel from Kenta. And I remember we were like coming out of a break and we were chatting. And it was like, oh, you were chatting up Rachel. And I'm like, I don't think Rachel Riley would have anything to do with me. But we were just vibing. And so we were just having a bit of a chat. And, you know, and then all of a sudden, like, Whittaker, it's like, no, you can't talk that or whatever. And then, like, docks points. And I'm like, are you serious? And he docks me points again. And then I just looked at him. I'm like, what? And he did it again. And I swear on my father's grave, I almost walked out of the studio. And I was just going to go, you know what? I'm going to wait for you outside. I'm going to kick your ass.
Can I just say on behalf of everyone at Comedians Playing FPL, if you're going to come over here to kick Josh Whittaker's ass, we will pay those flights.
I'm down. But yes, so then I went from Arsenal to low priority FC because the analytics that some people put forth, it's just, my friend runs the Michelin Guide and he is absolutely brilliant at it. He has a team called the Fear Boners. I don't know why. Maybe something he has to talk with his therapist about. My current team, and I know we can't.
We'll screen grab the league and we'll put it on the Twitter page so people can.
That's lovely. I actually probably should change the name so I don't get sued either. I don't know. Whatever. Our team is shit. My team is not really playing very well right now. It's like we're in the top four and I'm amazed. But holy hell. Who do you support, Matt?
Nottingham Forest.
You guys are doing lovely.
Yeah. Beat Liverpool.
And a hell of a goalie. Hell of a goalkeeper.
Oh, isn't he great, Henderson?
Really, really stepping
up. Oh, I love him. Really? You saved that Kane penalty. Obviously, you still battered us, but...
No, but, I mean, really, very impressive. And you guys are playing Arsenal, right, next this weekend?
Yeah, on Sunday, yeah.
And I remember it was like, that was the big thing, right? Like, this week, everyone is like, oh, I got to get in, you know, Diogo Dalo. I want to get in Luke Shaw. Suddenly, Luke Shaw's in play. Alex Iwobi has turned into Pele. Harry Kane, I'm fairly certain he blocked my number. But the text started going, you're not enough. And Madison is really, I mean, he's having maybe his best season ever, right? I mean, it's, but look, that's the beautiful thing about this game. Like, do you remember, like, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, like, the first day of the season, Miguel Michu had a hat trick for Swansea? Like, where's Miguel Michu now? Like, is he working at Sainsbury's? Like, what is he? is he working at, like, that casino by Leicester Square? Like, where is he?
Wherever he is, he's telling that story of the day he scored a hat trick on the first day of the season.
Wouldn't you?
Hell yeah.
I played for 2 minutes in Soccer Aid in 2014. It comprises like half of the favorites on my phone. And it's like, this is my kit hanging next to Van der Sar and Davids. Like, you know, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about the beautiful game, right? That those moments where Everton avoids relegation and then comes back with the season like they're having. And look, you know, I was at the Battle of the Bridge and I was there watching Mark, you know, as I call him, Shark Clattenturd, watching him just some atrocious calls and stuff. But by the same token, I couldn't begrudge Leicester. Like, what a great story. Weren't they like just before the drop the season before? I mean, yeah, of course. You know, we were up 2-0 at the half, and I kind of hoped that Poch would have parked the bus instead of playing open and trying to hit Chelsea on the break. And it also was rough because it coincided with Eden Hazard remembering how to play football.
Just before we talk about the meals that made me, and you can tell people where they can find that, I'd love just to quickly go to Matt Ford for his thoughts on what a great story it was when Leicester won the Premier League.
Well, it, obviously, as a Forest fan, it wasn't for me, and it was a very I don't really like talking. It was a good achievement, but this idea that it eclipses when Nottingham Forest were champions of Europe and John McGovern was lifting what is now the Champions League, having been in, you know, the second division 2 years before that. What we did is a bigger deal, and hopefully everyone knows that.
Yeah, that's the other thing that's kind of fascinating. So during the pandemic, I bought shares in Grimsby Town and going to Blundell Park, and you realize, right, they're not, you know, you look at that, my buddy Tom Sibley's Footy Scran account, and you see like all sorts. But I also got to see guys' kits from the Sunday League team that I sponsor. It has my logo on it, my production company logo on it, Broadly FC in Lincolnshire.
Oh, great.
And we'll go. We'll have a day out. It's only down the road.
Yeah, no. Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll go and watch a game.
Yeah, oh, please. It's, no, the thing is, my cousin Blake had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma at that time, and he had just gotten on the other side of it. And this kid named Matt Newton wrote me this very articulate, very witty, very warm letter. And his friend Richard Broadley used to play trumpet in the Grimsby Town band and died of leukemia, which is another bloodborne cancer. And they were looking for someone to sponsor the trackies, the warm-up that they wore. And I just said, I've kind of always wanted to see my production company logo on a soccer kit. That's really how it began. And these kids, all the proceeds from the gates go to Bloodwise UK. And I love it, and I love the grassroots game. So if anyone's listening to this and you have a local team, or like, I don't know, like, I want to see Dagenham and Redbridge play. I want to see the Kidderminster Harriers. That's like the heart and soul of the game. I think sometimes you see so much money and so much entitlement in the professional game that, you know, like I had seen like Boca Juniors, but then when I went to Ciudad Lanús, this little Argentinian team, you're going, oh man, there's like stray dogs in the stadium and they're cooking hot dogs on a piece of stolen fence. This is awesome.
Yeah.
Do you live
That's
in
That's great fun. And no, I live in London now, but I grew up there. So I get to a few games a season. I'll go to Arsenal away on Sunday.
Oh, yeah?
So it's just down the road, yes. That's very exciting.
Gotcha.
I just hope we don't get relegated. That's the main thing, is just to stay up.
Where are you guys in the table now?
Bottom.
Are you?
Yeah.
Level with Leeds, yeah. Awareness on points.
Yeah. Really? But on goal difference, so it's all very tight down there.
Yeah.
I guess when you've just come up, you don't want to go straight. You know, we've waited 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
Can't handle waiting all that time and then having our hearts broken again.
Yeah, when we got, that's what's so weird. We got Jed Spence and then we don't use him.
Oh, he's so good.
So fast.
He's so good.
Like, I don't know.
And he can do everything.
I don't know why we don't use him.
You've given us a great deal. We're very, very grateful for your time. So thank you so much.
No worries. And yes, The Meals That Made Me is wherever you get your podcasts. It's, do you watch Hot Ones? The show with the,
yeah, oh God, yeah, I love it.
So,
yeah, really good.
They're really good. So that's First We Feast, which is the food arm of Complex. And they just put out their first podcast called The Meals That Made Me. So I interview like 10 people across the culinary world. And it's everyone from the rapper E-40 to Ghetto Gastro to Andrew Zimmern to, oh my gosh, like Chef Anita Lowe. And yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's my first ever podcast. So I think it's.
Oh, great. It was long overdue.
I think it's a really good thing. But yeah, man. And then hopefully the shows I'm working on here in the States, the TV shows, will head your way. And yeah, we got to go and have a cheeky Nando's. And like, I really do mean it. Please take me to the most random league games or blue square beer games.
Well, when you're over, let us know.
We will
take you there to the roughest, hardest football game you want to go to. John, are you sitting down?
Yes.
Excellent. I've got some very exciting news.
You've ordered me a new chair.
No, better. We've been approached to make our very own CPFPL beer to accompany the podcast with Leeds' very own Kirkstall Brewery. I think we should open it up to the listeners to suggest. Get in touch. What should the comedians playing FPL beer taste like? Email us at hello@cpfpl.com with some suggestions. And for a bit of inspiration, Kirkstall are known for their delicious cask beers like Three Swords and Dissolution, as well as modern hoppy beers like Virtuous and Judicious. So what should it be like? Should it be dark and bitter like John's Soul? Or should it be light and positive, sparkling and popular like one of my mates? As well as brewing great beer, they also own some of the best pubs in West Yorkshire, like the Kirkstall Bridge Inn and the Cardigan Arms in Leeds, the Sparrow Beer Cafe in Bradford, and their own tap room at the brewery on Kirkstall Road. I'm going to do a pub crawl around all of them. Listeners can get 20% off everything on Kirkstall's online shop with the code CPFPL20, and look out for a very special collaboration beer from us and Kirkstall very soon. Just visit the website kirkstallbrewery.com and click on shop.
Been in a situation where I've been working in a house all week, and due to limited space, I haven't had a dressing room. So basically I have to sort of make small talk all day, which is a nightmare for me and all the people around me.
So let's have a little blast on that small talk then, John. I'll be the other person.
Awful.
Hi, John.
Yeah, you all right?
Yeah, not bad, you?
Mild, isn't it? Isn't it mild for the time of year?
I hadn't noticed, but now you mention it, yeah, yeah.
Shouldn't be this mild. We're all going to die.
Yeah, eventually. Eventually, unless you know something we don't.
Well, I think this is the start of quite severe. I mean, climate change is happening now. We're watching it, and we're all doing nothing.
Right. And sorry, did you say you wanted a cup of tea or?
You got any oat milk?
Actually, we've got some almonds. I could just crush that into your tea.
No.
Some peanuts, would that do?
I really like tea. Anyway.
Hey, Clive, John wants peanuts in his milk, so just crush the peanuts into the milk and then put that. Would that work?
Do you want to know something?
Go on.
I don't think I've ever worked with a Clive.
You must have done.
I don't think I've ever worked with a Clive.
Ever worked with Clive Myrie?
No, never.
Oof. What about...
Done neither Mastermind nor the News.
Famous Clives. Clive Owen?
No, never worked with Clive Owen. I do own a Clive Tildesley set of match notes.
Oh, yes, they're a lovely gift. Clive yep. Anderson.
You've got me bang to rights.
Bosh.
I died on my arse on loose ends in front of Ray Galton of Galton and Simpsons and Clive Anderson. It's one of the most painful memories I hold, and that's why I've buried it so deep.
Excellent. Let's dive into it. How long ago was it?
We'd be talking around sort of 2008. Probably done my first sort of showcase Edinburgh around the Comedy Zone period.
Okay.
Don't know what I went on to plug, but you do it live in the studio, no studio audience. I was required, no interview. I was required to get up and perform stand-up in a soundproof room.
What?
Only audience was Clive Anderson, Ray Galton, and an African band who spoke no English.
Okay, firstly, they are terrible circumstances for stand-up, so...
Yeah.
No one's going to do well there, but even in that context, how bad was it? Could you see Clive Anderson's face?
I could see them at first, and then I stopped looking at them because it was embarrassing for both of us, so then I just performed to the floor.
Because he's a very nice man, Clive Anderson. I've done a couple of things.
Oh, he's wonderful, yeah. He was trying, and Ray Galton, I mean, there was no malice. There was just legends of the industry watching a new comic perform half-baked ideas and it was, I'd say, 9:30, 9:45 in the morning. I mean, literally nothing was right about that gig.
That is a nightmare.
And I don't think I got paid because it was PR.
Oh, mate, you didn't get paid.
I don't think I got paid because I think I was promoting something. So I think I did it to boost my profile.
You're promoting a prototype of the Comedians Playing FPL podcast. It was just a wooden toy back then.
Absolutely.
Oh, mate, I feel for you. That's hard. I remember you telling me that you didn't do corporates anymore because you did, was it like an air conditioning awards at Stamford Bridge? And you said, I'm going upstairs to kill myself, and everyone cheered.
Yeah, that was the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors annual dinner.
That was it.
I performed unlit off a balcony into a pit where they just had a meat raffle.
My dad told
him I was going to go upstairs and kill myself, and they cheered.
Wow.
And then the guy who'd booked me for the corporate was so apologetic. He said, look, go upstairs, order whatever you want on our tab. So this was in my meat-eating days. I ordered a big spag bol, a garlic bread, side salad, side of fries, and a bottle of expensive red. And when I went down the next morning, they billed me for it.
Oh, typical.
Because I was too shy to say, I think they were going to pay for it because I was really upset last night. There was a big queue of people waiting to check out behind me who'd seen me at the awards too.
Oh, no.
I think I spent about 200 quid on dinner. I think I would have been getting about 300 quid for the gig. It was a monstrous evening.
I mean, I still do corporates, as you know.
Sure.
You know, I can handle it.
Those fat cats won't make themselves laugh.
Well, look, it's wrong to mischaracterize corporate entertainment as that sort of phrase. These are annual dinners, and they're great fun. And
ladies and gentlemen of the Frozen Chip Suppliers Guild, it is my very great pleasure to bring you the voice of the recently cancelled Spitting Image. A man who has gained 5-star reviews in Edinburgh if you collate those stars across the last 5 years. Mr. Matt Ford.
Thank you so much. And obviously, it's been another record-breaking year for the frozen chip industry. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Name some footballers who are named after rivers, you twat. Andy B.
What's he saying?
He says, a French listener has told us that he knows what we mean by the phrase shit eater and has promised to bring it to the people of Paris. He says, as testament to your podcast, I will try to implement mangeur de merde into the local Parisian culture.
That's so cool. We're in Paris, dude.
Yeah, we've gone global. Well, European.
Ooh, good question. Are you one of our global listeners? Email us, hello@cpfpl.com.
And also what shit eater is in your local tongue.
Yes. Also, if no matter where you live on Earth, run out into the street, shout it at the top of your voice, let us know what happens. Email us, hello@cpfpl.com.
That's all the time we have. Thanks for joining us. We will be back next week with another episode when, if all is right with the world, I will be 7-5 ahead and Leeds will be ahead of Forest on points. Bye.
Bye, Doctor Arnold.